Now may the words of my lips and the thoughts that are always in our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, John seems to have been a strange sort of a man. We heard in the reading that he wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. Well, I still do that. And would eat locusts with wild honey. Still last Sunday, we heard a suggestion that his mother was 88 years old when she had him, so what could you expect of the child? they say there's a danger in older pregnancies, and perhaps that counts for some of it. From the start of his life, his father had proclaimed that he was destined to be the one to proclaim the coming of the Lord and to prepare the way for him. Clearly, this is what he saw himself as doing, and his message was fairly clear. Repent of your sins, be baptized as a sign of the cleansing of your lives and the way in which you have turned from evil to good, and live your lives differently. And it seems that Jesus was initially one of John's disciples, and he came to be baptized by him when he was in the Jordan. Now Matthew says that John objected, saying that he was the one who should have been baptized by Jesus. However, Jesus says, let it be so for the present. So from the conversation, it seems the two of them knew each other. Their mothers were probably related and possibly cousins. And Mary visited Elizabeth, as we read last week, during her pregnancy. I wondered if Mary even had been sent there when she was pregnant to avoid the scandal, as they still used to do in the olden days and sometimes still do, until it was the time that Joseph accepted that the marriage should go ahead. And it was during her time with Elizabeth that she is recorded to have used the words of the Magnificat, which we sang last week, praising and glorifying God and accepting the reality that this son was a special gift. It would seem that Jesus only began his ministry when John was arrested, and John even sent his disciples to see if Jesus was in fact the one, the Messiah. Perhaps Jesus was not fulfilling the traditionally expected role of the Messiah. People expected him to call the people together, to overthrow the Roman occupiers and restore Israel to its former glory. That was the role of the Messiah, to restore Israel to its former glory. Instead, Jesus was teaching people that the kingdom of God was already here, and that it was near to and even within them, and that their task was to live a life of caring and love and acceptance of enemies. In some ways, to be quite the opposite of the conquering hero they were expecting. John taught people to flee from the coming wrath of God, which would be heralded by the arrival of the one he was preparing the way for. But Jesus spoke of his Father's love and his concern for people. He spoke of forgiveness rather than of condemnation. Of course, many people at the time were dissatisfied with both. In Matthew 11:16-19, we read, "To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplace calling out to others, 'We played the pipe for you and you would not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'He's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax gatherers and sinners.' But wisdom is proved by her deeds." Not exactly the description of Jesus we often think of. A drunkard, a glutton, a friend of tax gatherers and sinners. But wisdom is proved by her deeds. And wisdom would have probably been understood by the people then as Sophia, the female form of God, who was there at the beginning and like the Spirit, or perhaps even as the Spirit, ever present and a sure guide. Perhaps we're always dissatisfied. If we're asked how we're going, people usually say in Australia, "Okay, never fantastic, I'm terrific." Okay, as if the world was about to end because you're all right. Perhaps we're always dissatisfied, and we look at other people and we're not much brighter about them. We see some people as too harsh or too demanding in their faith and in their general life. We see others as weak and simpering or soft on the essentials that we think are so important. Certainly these two people, John and Jesus, would have been unusual, even strange men, and their habits did not go unnoticed by those who wanted to criticize. Yet in a way, each was bringing the message that the kingdom of God was near and that we could live a different life and change our lives if we were ready. John's view was much more direct and harsh, and some thought, in fact, he was the Messiah, but he himself said he pointed to another. Jesus' view was seemingly crazy. Love your enemies. Do good to those who dreadfully use you. If someone takes something from you, give them some more. Do not repay evil with evil, but repay evil with good. Give no thought for tomorrow. What you will eat, what you will wear, God knows what you need. Instead, spend your time in search of that which lasts, that which is eternal. Let Caesar have what is his, not even fighting against the empire. Let Caesar have what is his, but give to God what is his, your devotion, your love, and your obedience. Jesus went around with the outcasts of society and did what would have been horrifying to a strict Jew seeking purity. He touched them. He went into their homes. He sat down with them and spoke with them. He ate with them. He even went off to heal the child of a hated Roman officer when there were Jewish people crying out for his help. He spoke with women. What a dreadful idea. He spoke with women, and if that was not bad enough, he entered into a spirited conversation with a Samaritan woman of all people, whom he should have shunned, and he even asked her for some water. So while they complained and criticized and kept away from him, they missed out on the message of his life. They failed to find hope for themselves. They could never find the peace that comes from forgiveness and repentance. I guess we can do that today. We can spend our time in criticism of others, Christians or not. We can miss out on what we might learn from them and what we might offer them. You would probably be amazed, I think, to learn that I believe I have even heard people from Manningham criticize each other on occasion. But of course I must have been mistaken. Perhaps we need to recall the message of our own baptism, and that we are accepted into the love and the care of the church and the fellowship of the Lord. We were baptized into the name of the family of Jesus, and we are members of it, as St. Paul reminds us. Someone we meet might be wrong. Was that the same as needing to be condemned? John might have thought so. Jesus offers a different view, where we are called to do what used to be called to love them into the kingdom. I suppose that fits well with the ideas of praying for the kingdom to come. I suppose it fits well with the idea of treating others as we would like to be treated, and of loving them as we love ourselves. Yes, strange men, strange habits, but perhaps they have something to offer us. The invitation to change our ways and the invitation to live in peace with all people, as much as it lies within our power. The opportunity even to be called children of God.